Thanks for taking the time to listen to this weekly sermon from Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. Our vision is to know God and make Him known. We now offer two services on Sunday mornings. Our classic service begins at 8:30 a.m. and our modern service is at 10:45. Please visit our website at southsidenow.church to find out more about how we are making disciples in the Florence area. For now, sit back and take in this week's message from God's Word.
Wonderful worship here this morning. He is our way maker, isn't He? He is. We are finishing up our series called Freedom. And I think this message is a very important message. And the topic is about the subject of forgiveness. And if I had to put a title on this, it would be Healer. Because if we want to experience really true healing, there's some forgiveness that needs to take place. You know, in life, it seems that there's always someone who's angry about something. It doesn't matter who you are, there's always something someone's angry about. If you don't believe me, just go on social media, go on Facebook or go on Twitter, and you'll find someone who is angry about something. They're ranting about something, or they feel unjust about something, and maybe at times rightfully so. But we all have something that has happened to us or will happen to us that is not fair. If you have children, you've probably have heard that term quite a bit. That's not fair. In life, it isn't fair, is it? It's not fair. Right now, there's some unfair things happening. Some of it's to churches. Some of it's to churches across the world and different countries. In our own country, maybe we feel it's unfair. We're dealing with a pandemic. Maybe we lost our job due to the pandemic. We feel it's unfair. Some want to blame China. Some want to blame this person, that person, or this situation. And they're angry. You know, people who harbor anger often don't realize it, but they're poisoning their own lives. When we don't forgive, we're not hurting the other person. We're not hurting the company that did us wrong. We're not hurting God. We're only hurting ourselves. By not letting go of the bitterness, we will never heal emotionally or grow spiritually. We'll never move on. Now, I want to say this. Forgiveness, and subject of forgiveness, can be a difficult sermon to preach. The reason being, it's such an emotional topic. The fact is that you have people who do not want to forgive. They've been hurt so badly that the thought of forgiving someone or that person sounds crazy. You know, I can think back of just people that have been in a part of my ministry that I know. In other churches, some of them have been teenagers. Some of, you know, folks here. They hurt so deeply and so badly that the thought of forgiving someone just seems a little crazy. And so I realized that preaching on this topic for, you know, 30 minutes, okay, 40 minutes on this topic can be difficult. And while it won't solve everything, I do believe it'll do this. I do believe it'll get you on the right path of finding healing. The right path of realizing, you know what, I need to forgive and I need to let God take care of certain things. And I'm not saying that the police or the law should not ever get involved in a situation that has happened in your life. I'm not saying that you should forgive somebody and then let them continue to hurt you over and over again. No. But see, when we forgive, it does us much good. First, I want you to see this, though. It's that God has shown us and given us a model for forgiveness. In the book of Genesis, we read about how God created everything. And when He created everything, He took a step back and He called it good. He called it good, and it was. It was good. But mankind, Adam and Eve, through their disobedience and their rebellion, brought sin upon all of mankind. And ever since then, death, disease, everything wicked, everything bad has been passed down from generation to generation. You might be here and you might have your firstborn, that sweet little one that you look. I remember when I, held my daughter for the first time, and you think they can do no wrong. You quickly realize that's not the case. They grow. If you feed them and water them, they will grow. And you'll realize that that little one is a little sinner, just like you. We all are born with this sin nature. And because of it, everything wicked, everything bad has entered into our world. And some want to blame God for the wickedness in which we have to deal with. They're like, God, how could you create such a wicked world? No, wait a second. You have a misunderstanding about what God did. He called it good. We, mankind, messed it up. But God has a plan. He had a plan, and it was to redeem us. And he's offered forgiveness. We see this in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. We actually see the first prophecy concerning the Messiah in Scripture. And it says, and I will put enmity, in other words, a hatred between you and the woman. Now, between who's the you here? It's the serpent, the devil who took the form of a serpent, who helped lie and betray Eve and the woman. Between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now, after Adam and Eve sinned, and they were hiding themselves in the garden, and God had sweet communion with them during that time, but after they sinned, the Lord went looking for them. He knew right where they were at. And it says in verse 20, it says, and Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Here we also see the first record of an animal being killed. And who did it? None other than God. To clothe Adam and Eve. And this tunics of skin is a type of Christ who became righteous, who came for us righteousness, a divinely provided garment that the first sinners might be made fit for God's presence. You see, to be fit to be in God's presence, to be declared righteous, there must be a sacrifice in which would be made. And here in Genesis 3, we see a gracious provision that paints a picture. And it's a prophecy of salvation through the blood of an innocent substitute who would end up being none other than Jesus Christ. When you read the Old Testament and you read and you see about those sacrifices, what's going on? It's a type. It's a picture of Jesus Christ who would come and die for us. Isaiah 53 says, by his stripes we are healed, in reference to the Messiah. Isaiah 61, and Jesus quoted this in Luke 4. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus said that he came to seek and to save that which is lost. The book of Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. But not just any blood. It had to be someone special, someone specifically who was willing and who was able and who qualified to shed their blood. There's only been one. And that was when God became flesh and dwelt among us. As we read the Old Testament, we see types of Christ throughout it. Isaiah 53:10 tells us plainly that God had his soul an offering for sin. Colossians 1, verse 13 and 14 says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his death. No, through his blood. The forgiveness of sins. Jesus died so we could be pardoned. He has offered a pardon to you and to me, a pardon in which we do not receive. The question is, have you received and accepted that pardon? There's a story in the 1920s, a man by the name of George Wilson. He robbed a mail carrier and killed him. He was sentenced to die but received a presidential pardon. What's so interesting about this story is that Mr. Wilson decided to reject the presidential pardon. It had never been done before. And so the question was, if a man had been pardoned, but he rejected the pardon, was he really pardoned? It went to the Supreme Court, and this is what they came up with. This is what they said. This was their verdict. A pardon rejected is no pardon at all. Unless the recipient of the pardon accepts the pardon, then the pardon cannot be applied. A pardon has two sides, the offerer and the offeree. Unless the offeree accepts the offer from the offerer, then the pardon cannot be mandated. And on the cross, the eternal God, having been satisfied by the death of his Son, has offered every man, woman, boy, and girl a pardon. We just simply have to choose whether we're going to accept the pardon or reject it. So God has modeled what forgiveness should look like for you and for me. And he's offered it. He's offered it through the death of his Son, through the power of the resurrection. The question is, will you accept it or reject it? According to John chapter 1, the Jews rejected the offer in which Jesus brought. It can be rejected, and it can be accepted. The question is, what will you do with it? And so we see the example given to us from God about forgiveness. I want to go even further into this subject of forgiveness, of why we should forgive. Here's five reasons. So if you're a note taker, you're going to love this today. Five reasons, all right? Five reasons of why we should forgive. Here's the first one. It's because God said he will pay them back. He'll be the one who will take the revenge. In Romans chapter 12 is where we've been in this series. This is what it reads here for us in verse 17. It says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says who? Says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. God says in his word, he will repay. Notice the rest of this Bible verse. For in doing so, you will reap heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. God will do a much better job in dealing with unjust situations than what you ever will. And I realize our first reaction in the flesh is when someone wrongs us, man, it's to get them back. I'm the oldest of four brothers. I know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? It's the same way with your kids. You know, that brother or that sister does something to you and you think, your time's coming. I'm going to get you. The young ones are the ones you got to look out for because they're meaner. And they're opportunists. They just wait in the weeds like a snake, waiting for it to pounce upon you when you're not looking. Some of you are young. You're the ones who just laughed. We know who you are. But he'll do a better job. He's saying, I will repay. I will repay. I will take care of it. Our first reaction, though, is eye for an eye. But the problem with an eye for an eye, it eventually leaves everyone blind. It does. But in the spirit, and following God, we got to say, you know what, God, there's certain things that I just need to give to you. I've seen this. I had a situation in my family years ago where there was someone I could not stand. It was a situation that had happened, not to me directly, but indirectly, that I wanted this person gone. And it took every part of me not to repay evil for evil. But as I read this passage of Scripture, Romans 12, of it saying, make room for God's wrath. There are certain things you just need to give up to God and let him take care of. And I saw that firsthand. And it may not always be in your timing. It may not necessarily even be on this side of earth. But rest assured, God will right the wrongs. I promise you. In this lifetime or one day in glory, he will right the wrongs. I want you to know something, though, when it comes to forgiveness, is that there are really stages within forgiveness happening. You know, we just read this passage of, don't avenge evil for evil. It's not eye for eye. Let the Lord repay them to a point where I should give them something to drink. I should feed them. I should help them. Like, that's not happening, preacher. I can just hear some of you right now, because I know how sensitive this subject is right here. There's no way I'm doing that. But there are stages in forgiveness. The first stage is this. The first stage is when you verbally say you forgive somebody, but you still get burning hot when you think about the situation. Hatred is still in your heart, even though you said you've forgiven them, but it's still in your heart. Maybe you've told them directly. Maybe they are gone. Maybe they're no longer, it's just not a good situation for you to say that to them. I understand. I've made a suggestion before to people, and it's really helped them out. And sometimes, especially if someone is deceased, it could be a mother or father or someone, whoever it was, that you write out, you write to them offering forgiveness, and then you can take that paper, you can burn that paper, you can hide that paper, you can keep that paper, whatever you want to do with it. But there's something healing, therapeutic, about taking those feelings out of your heart and putting them on paper. But that's the first stage. Forgiveness verbally, but it hasn't reached your heart yet. The next stage is you verbally have forgiven them, but time has passed. And time is a great healer. It really is. At least it can be. You see, in the second stage, you no longer get as angry. You don't get angry so quick when you end up thinking back to that moment or that situation. Your heart is starting to catch up with your mouth or what you've determined in your head. You don't get as mad. Sometimes this takes years. Sometimes it takes months. Sometimes decades. But the Lord, the sooner we give it to the Lord and say, Lord, this is yours. I'm going to trust you with it. I believe the sooner we can start to heal. The third step is the one people sometimes think they'll never get to, but it's a beautiful thing when you do, is forgiveness is complete when you'd rather see them blessed rather than seeing them cursed. So let the Lord and make room for his wrath. He'll do a better job at paying back than you ever can. Why should we forgive? Because Christ has forgiven us. I mean, that's a great reason. That's a great reason. That's what the scripture says in Ephesians 4. This is probably the best reason of all the ones I have. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. I find this is that when I realize how much I need forgiveness and how much I needed God's forgiveness, the more I realize, the more freely I'm willing to forgive other people who are around me when I see God has forgiven me and when I didn't deserve his forgiveness. And neither do you. We don't deserve it, but he's given it. And there are times when we need to be the bigger person and admit when we have wronged somebody. Sometimes we need to be the person who extends the olive branch. But usually the problem is forgiving someone when we feel they've done us wrong. In many of our minds, we think forgiveness is weakness. And I hate that. We have this idea sometimes that if we just forgive, then we're going to become a doormat. And that's not God's purpose when it comes to forgiveness. No. Forgiveness does not mean allowing that other person to hurt you over and over again. It's simply saying, I'm going to move on and forgive because I know what Christ has done for me. And also, what I find here in Ephesians 4 is wonderful for families and also for churches. You know, if you're in church long enough, someone may anger you. They may offend you, and maybe rightfully so, you're offended. What I found is we're called to forgive one another. We're called to be tenderhearted. and to forgive as Christ has forgiven us. Sometimes we need to be the bigger person and say, you know, I'm going to extend the olive branch here and make things right. I think sometimes what you may find as well is that when you offer the olive branch in a situation, you may find even that the other person may have a point in something that you may even need to ask for forgiveness of, that you did not get it from their perspective. You didn't see maybe the complete situation. We always like to think of ourselves as knowing the entire situation, but when we extend the olive branch, we can restore. And sometimes that's what it means as a Christian to be forgiving, is simply be the one who takes the first step of making things right. Here's another reason we should forgive. Not just because Christ has forgiven us, and that's a wonderful reason, but we should forgive because at least bitterness take root in our lives. You see, we must learn to let go of hurts and pains of the past and not let bitterness take root in our life. Maybe something happened to you when you were younger. Somebody mistreated you. Somebody took advantage of you. Perhaps somebody cheated you out of a job or lied about you. Maybe a good friend betrayed you, and you have good reason to be angry. And the Bible doesn't say you shouldn't be angry. There's a righteous anger. There's a time to be angry. And there's a time to let it go and to move on. But for your emotional and spiritual health, there comes a time where you need to forgive and you need to let it go. It doesn't do any good to go around hating somebody. Nor does it make any sense to stay angry for what somebody's already done to you. You can't do anything about the past, but you can do something about the future. You might as well forgive and start trusting God to make it up to you. Notice what Hebrews chapter 12 here says to us. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. It says, looking carefully, notice carefully, and we're pay attention to this, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Notice a couple things here. One, you need to be careful about this. Something's going to grow when we hold on to our anger. Eventually, anger is going to turn into bitterness, and it's going to spring up. I mean, it's just like it's kind of like stored in here and just starts to come out in our actions and in what we do. It'll cause trouble. And it doesn't just affect you. It will affect your children. It will affect your spouse. It will affect other people around you. It says, by this, many become defiled. This is what I know about a root. A root isn't seen, typically. You might see some surface roots, but the majority of a root system is below the surface. You can't always see it. When anger turns into bitterness and bitter takes root, it's taking a root in your life. It gets a hold and it's hard to get rid of. Also know this about a bitter root. A bitter root will produce bitter fruit. And if you know somebody that has bitter fruit, they're always angry. They're always grumpy. They're always looking to fight somebody. They're always complaining on social media. They're always, always angry, always bitter. What's going on? There's a bitter root. There's a bitter root. There's unforgiveness in their heart, and it's stayed there, and it's stayed there, and it's stayed there, and they haven't done anything about it. And if we have bitterness on the inside, it's going to affect every part of our lives. And it's important that we ask God. They would say, God, search my heart. I love what King David said. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Know my heart, God. Show me. Let the Holy Spirit take His light and shine it within my heart and within my soul. And show me, God. Show me what needs to be confessed. Show me what I need to forgive. And help me. Because Christian, I want you to hear something. If you do not, you're giving a foothold, you're giving a place for Satan to do a work in your life. So I don't know about that. Notice this next verse. It says, why should we forgive unless Satan take advantage? He is compared to a roaring lion seeking to whom he may devour, and he's watching, he's looking for an opportunity, and he loves to take advantage of those opportunities. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 10 says, "Now, whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one of for your sakes for the presence of Christ. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." And that's one of the things he loves to whisper into the minds of believers. If that person has wronged you, repay them evil for evil. That person has wronged you, they never deserve forgiveness. That person has wronged you, you need to hold on to that anger and get them back and devise a way. See, that's what the enemy does. He knows it's going to affect every part of our lives. Satan hates what is free and alive. And when you're holding on to the bitterness and it's taking root and there's that bitter fruit in your life, man, you're not free. In fact, that person who hurt you, you're allowing them to hurt you over and over and over and over again. It's said that forgiveness is like setting a prisoner free and then realizing you were the prisoner. See, we are alive because Christ lives in us. And Satan knows that if we have unforgiveness in our heart, there will be a bitter root. And when we hold on to it, we are letting that other person hurt us again and again and again. And if there's a bitter root, how can there be the fruit of the Spirit in your life? And maybe if you're watching or listening here this morning and you're here, you say, "I haven't felt close to God in a while." Or, "I'm not experiencing the joy-filled Christian life like I should." It could be, my friend, you have some unforgiveness in your heart that is laying hold and you're producing bitter fruit. You can't experience the fruit of the Spirit, of the joy, of the peace, and all that God has for you. It's time to let it go. You're just allowing that person of the past to hurt you over and over and over again. And the enemy wants to take the thought of you forgiving somebody from you. He wants you to think that you were violated in such a gross, unpardonable way that this cannot possibly apply to you, or that forgiveness is just for those catastrophic circumstances. Maybe you've led a pretty sheltered, blessed life and you think everything is perfect, but deep in your heart, you know the Lord has something he wants you to address. Maybe you've been gossiping about someone. Maybe you've been giving someone the cold shoulder to a certain person. I don't know what it could be, but whatever it is, you need to let it go. Small things can quickly turn into bigger things in your heart, and you never know what it'll lead to. There's a story about a basketball player, Rudy Tomjanovich. He's a former NBA player and, I believe, current coach. But in 1973, as a 25-year-old, Rudy was playing for the Houston Rockets. In the middle of a close game, a fight broke out in center court. And Rudy rushed over there, and a player whipped around without ever looking and swung as hard as he could. You can see it on YouTube. It is a brutal, brutal hit. Rudy, being close to 7 foot tall, it hit him right in the face, and it fractured his skull. It broke his nose and cheekbones, and it nearly killed him. And although Rudy was sidelined for months following the devastating blow, he eventually recovered. One day while he was back on the court, a reporter asked him, "Rudy, have you ever forgiven that player who did that to you?" And without hesitation, Rudy said, "Absolutely. I've forgiven him. I've moved on." And the reporter shook his head and was as though he was perplexed. He said, "Come on, Rudy, really? That guy nearly killed you. He stole part of your career. Are you telling me you don't have any hatred or bitterness towards him?" He's like, "No, I've moved on." The reporter finally asked Rudy, "How did you do it? How could you possibly forgive that man who hurt you so badly?" And Rudy replied this, quote, "I knew if I wanted to move on in my life, I had to let it go. If I didn't do it for him, I had to do it for me. So I did it so I could be free. You see, you need to forgive so you can be free. You need to forgive so you can be happy. Forgive so you can get out of bondage. And we have to remember, when we forgive, we're not doing it just for the other person. We're doing it for our own good. Don't allow them to continue to hurt you by hanging on to that hurt. You're not hurting them at all. You're just hurting yourself over and over again. Here's the last reason why we should forgive. It's because forgiveness will be shown to you. Luke tells us this in Luke chapter 6. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. See, too many of us are looking for an alternative to forgiveness. Sometimes we need to be the one who extends the olive branch, and you might say, I'm not sure I can do that. You don't know what they did, but remember, you're not hurting them at all. You're only hurting yourself. And just as there will be people in our life that need to be forgiven, don't be too prideful that there won't come a time in which you need forgiveness. And if you're never willing to show forgiveness to other people, why do you think it will be extended to you? And that's a principle right out of Scripture. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. The largest bulldozer in the world is a D-575. It is 16 feet high, 25 feet wide, and 41 feet long. It weighs 250,000 pounds. It's a huge machine to bulldoze dirt. A couple years ago, a certain country brought in a couple of these bulldozers because of the amount of trash and what they had to dig a hole so deep that they could get rid of that garbage and remove it from the lives of the citizens. And my friend on the cross, God dug a hole so big he could collect the sins of the whole world, the past, the present, and the future on the cross. He gathered all the sin and took out his eternal wrath on Jesus Christ for you and for me. And the Bible says that God made him, talking about Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us on the cross, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So forgiveness is so important to God that he let his only begotten Son come and die on a cross for us. See, you and I did not deserve to be offered forgiveness, but because God is love, he has offered it. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. God loves you. He loves us. And as we grow in Christ and we mature in him, love should be a part of how a Christian acts and what they show every single day. So God here this morning has offered a pardon to you. If you do not know Christ as your Savior, if you've never, what the Bible says, have become born again, you can do that here today. When you repent of your sins and come to Jesus Christ in faith, and you pray and ask him, he will forgive you. He will change you, the Bible says, and make you into a new creation. He will change your life completely. If you're here this morning and you're watching and you know Christ, you've been born again, but there's some unforgiveness in your heart. And you know exactly what I'm talking about when it comes to that bitter fruit. It's time for you to let it go. It's time for you to give it to him. Say, God, the ball's now in your court. And what you want to avenge, God, you're going to avenge. And what needs to be paid back, you can do a much better job than I can ever do. And you know what it will do? It will set you free. That's what Jesus Christ has come. You want to experience true freedom? Give it to the Lord. It'll be like shackles coming off of your wrist. you will be free. Just as Scripture says, the truth shall set you free. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we won't have a formal invitation, but I do want to pray for you. I also have someone that I want to present to you here this morning for church membership that we're excited about. Let's pray. Father, as our heads are bowed and we're in an attitude of prayer, Lord, this is a type of subject that can definitely bring out our emotions inside. Whether someone's watching or here this morning, I just want to pray. I want to pray for them. I want to pray for those who say, Pastor, there's some unforgiveness in my heart. There's some people I need to forgive and I need to let go and let God. If that's you, just raise your hand, show it to the Lord. Raise your hand high in the air and say, God, I'm letting go of some of the hurt. I'm letting go of some of the pain and what's in my life. I'm giving it to you. Maybe you're here and you don't know Christ and you want to receive Him and become a born-again believer here this morning. It's what you need to do. It's a simple prayer. It's pray this. Pray, dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I'm asking you to be my Lord and my Savior. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. If you prayed that, please send us a message. Please send me a message. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to rejoice with you in your decision of accepting the pardon that Jesus Christ offers to us.